never changes. Doesn't matter how many times you preach, every time you come to this point, the butterflies. Join me for a word of prayer. Father, at this time in our service, we open our hearts to you for your word. We know you have a message for each one of us here today. I know you have a message for me. I pray that your Holy Spirit pervades this sanctuary, sits with each one of us, and for each of us, we hear what you have in store for us today. I thank you for the privilege to share this word, and I pray that you will cleanse my heart and use me today as your servant. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, I'm going to give you a quick note here. It's January. All the holidays are done. All the festivities are done. It's time for the Texas Conference to step up and do their jobs. So we're going to be pushing them hard this month to get us our pastor. Yes, that's right. We're ready to have a pastor. You guys are ready to have a pastor, aren't you? I preach too long when I get up here, right? So we have plans. We're going to be contacting them. I will be this week, and we'll see about moving this along. And with any measure of good fortune, perhaps by spring, we will have a pastor here. We can pray for that. Amen? All right. I want to extend a special welcome. Everybody here is welcome. All of our visitors, you're welcome. But I tell you what, to see Pastor Oscar laying back there, man, that warms my heart. That warms my heart. I'd known him when my hair was jet black, you know, when I didn't have a job because I was just a kid. And it's a blessing to see you still standing for God. Welcome today. And a special thanks to everyone that has already been up here this morning. The two ladies, as practical strangers, if you will, to most of the people, and stand up and sing. You won't catch me doing that, and I've been here for a long time. So thank you. And McKenna, wow. Beautiful, beautiful. And everyone else, I tell you what, I'm waiting for Robert to get up here and preach, because if he does what he does just with a prayer, it was all I could do to keep up with him with that mic. You know, amen. Thank you all for helping this morning. And thank you, Olivia, for reading our scripture. Let's read that scripture again. 2 Chronicles 14:11, and Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. Amen. That is a statement, a prayer, a blessing, a promise. I'll tell you what, I don't know, about 2.5 years ago, I was reading through one of the devotionals, and I came across this, just that much, and it talked about Prophets and Kings chapter 8, the story of King Asa and his service to the Lord, and it had the impact on me that I said, someday I want to share this message, and that's today. And as you know, I have problems keeping a sermon under 30 minutes, so I went ahead and helped you out and split this into two. Okay? So this is entitled Faithfulness to God, Part 1, Obedience and Surrender. And I'm going to tell you right now, come back next week, and we'll do this again next week for Part 2, but come in ready. I'll just be honest with you. Come in ready, okay? Let me go to page 17, no, I'm kidding, and tell you what's happening real quick, just in the title. Part 2, Seal Return Time. That's all I'm going to tell you about next week. I encourage you to come back next week. All right, so faithfulness to God all the time, all day long, every year. What could be more important than faithfulness to God? I felt it was fitting to start this year with reminding myself about faithfulness to God. because I had to stop and ask myself, was I faithful to God in 2019? You should ask yourself, were you faithful to God in 2019? And here's the thing. Every year comes and goes. And if you're still standing and still alive and nothing happened to you, you feel like it was a good year, everything was okay. But when you stop and you do some self-searching, you should realize you were created for a purpose. God created you to worship Him and to love Him. Not to worship yourself, not to love yourself, okay? To worship our Creator. Our faithfulness to God should be of paramount importance to us each and every day, each and every year. So put your best foot forward starting today. God is blessing us, and we have this privilege to stand, to walk, to have sight, to have speech, to be able to sing, to praise God, to understand, to hear a message that moves our hearts closer to God. It's a blessing from God to you. God is faithful to you. Right? So January 2020, the birth of a new year. Let me ask you something. It's already been 4 days. Who's got praises for God today from the last 4 days? God has been good to us in a mere 4 days. I know it. I felt it. God is good to us. It's amazing what we have in store for this entire year if we're faithful to God. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today, but we're going to focus on obedience and surrender. You've heard that 100,000 times, obedience, right, and surrender. I'm going to tell you this. It is so easy to say, I will be obedient. Good luck keeping that promise. You know why? I'm a man. I was born in sin. I was born steeped in sin. My destiny dictates that I will sin and then I will die. That is the reality. But I have a Savior. And He says, nope, I'm going to give you an alternative. Here's what's going to happen. I will be the one that will die so that you can live. And what does He expect of us? Loyalty, love, obedience. But how many times you tell a little kid, don't touch that, what do they do? There are some that would do like this. What? What? You know, there are some like that, right? Obedience is not the easiest thing for us. It challenges us, okay? Because now our servitude is to someone other than self. We're going to talk briefly about self in this message, and I'll tell you why. Why do you think we're in this mess right now? Because somebody was all about self and defied God and His allegiance to heaven and to the King of the universe, wanted to be that. It was all about me, myself, and I, and look where it's gotten us. For us, sad to say, self is very important. Can you agree? I want what I want. I like what I like. I do what I do. Self. But here's something I want you to take away from this message. Today, you get to leave 2019 behind you. You want to tell you why? Yeah, there was good in 2019, but there was a lot of disappointment in 2019. There was a lot of failure in 2019, because that's how we are as people. Okay, when we take our eyes off the cross, we can do nothing but fail. Now, the world might say we were successful. Sure, by their standards, you make a bunch of money, you're successful. You get a bunch of stuff, you're successful. Whatever the world says, right? By God's standard, success is measured very, very differently. And for us as men, women, and children, we failed a lot of times in 2019, but we serve a Savior who says, you know what? Let it go. Start with me today. Start fresh today. If you're on point with me, Jacob, if you're on point with me, says the Lord, Let go of last year and all your sins, if you are remorseful, they're forgiven, forgotten, they're not held against you. Going forward today, you are brand new, you are perfected in me, and you, if you want it, will be in heaven. Can you imagine that? Don't imagine it. It is the truth. This is the promise in the Bible. Let go of every failure we had last year. Let's go forward now with God. And nothing but success will stand before you. But let me tell you something. We're going to jump into this message now, and I'll tell you, it's not all, like they say, sunshine and roses. King Asa, we're going through a time where the nation of Israel was steeped in idolatry. That's kind of a strange thing to say. This is Israel, right? This comes from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the nation of Israel, blessed by God. This was God's chosen special people. How can you associate the very name Israel with idol worship? This is what was going on. At the same time, though, the nation of Judah, you remember, there was that splintering in 10 tribes with Israel and 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And here's the thing. At the same time that this gross misrepresentation of service to God was occurring in Israel, in Judah, King Asa walked uprightly with God. And during that same 40-some years, the nation of Judah was in prosperity and aligned with God. Now, not all the way through. We're going to talk about that also. But let's look at this for a second. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 14. Verse 2 says, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, break down the images, cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and do the law and the commandments." Asa was walking rightly with God. And you think about this for a minute. During this time, a 10-year period, the nation of Judah was at rest, at peace, no wars. And if you read in the Old Testament, seems like the nation of Israel just stayed at war with surrounding heathen nations. But here, God blessed Judah with 10 years of rest and peace. Interesting thing about that. Most of the times when we have that rest, peace, and calm, what do? The term is sit back on our laurels, I believe. We take it easy because everything is good. What did King Asa do? He stayed busy. He built and fortified the city, built towers, built walls, built gates of iron, trained 580,000 soldiers between Judah and Benjamin. Ready, always at the ready, men of valor. Ready to go into battle if needed. For 10 years, here's peacefulness. Nonetheless, this is what the king is doing. Does that remind you of something? I'll tell you this much. Satan wasn't resting during those 10 years. He probably said the same thing to God. I don't know, that he said at the time of Job. Yeah, I see your servant Job, but you keep a hedge of protection around him. Remove that hedge of protection and watch him fail. Let me at him and watch this. So here's a period of time where God has a hedge of protection around his people, and they are safe from wars, from pestilences, from everything that anyone else would fear. They were safe because God said they're going to be at peace and at rest during that time. But understand this. King Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 3:8, I believe, there's a time and a season for everything, a time for peace and then a time for war. So while most other kings, leaders, or people would be enjoying this time of peace and calm and freedom and enjoying, you know, all that the land has to offer, Asa was sharpening his walk with God. He was preparing and at the ready, so if things went sideways, and they can get sideways quickly, can I get an amen? He would be ready. He would be ready. So ask yourself this. I give you the history, and then we overlay it with us today. When you have the time of peace and calm, Ray, can we bring you a blanket? I'm just messing with you. It's okay. We know Ray is tired. That's okay. When we have the time of peace and calm, are we walking close with God? Because I'm going to tell you something. Here is the human way. I'm good. I'm fine. Everything is great. I fall. I stumble. Oh, Lord Jesus, where are you? Help me now. Where was Jesus? Why wasn't I calling for him when everything was good? That's our nature. So in your time of peace, in your time of calm, when things were good, when things are good, what are you doing with God? That's my question for you today. That's my question for me today. If 2019 was a good year financially, in relationships, whatever it might be, during that same time of a good year, how strong was your walk with God? Or did you assume since 2019 was good, 2020 is going to be good too? See what I'm saying? You don't know what's happening this year. I got a phone call from my son a couple of days ago. Hey, Dad, you hear about this World War III thing? I'm like, what? Seriously? He's 24 years old. You hear about this World War III? I said, what are you talking about? It's all over social media. And then it clicked, the whole deal with taking out Soleimani. I get it. All right. I said, son, if you read your Bible, you would understand these rumors will come to pass. Don't sweat World War III. It's not going to happen. I said, we're told in the Bible, Jesus will come back before man can destroy this earth. And I'll tell you what, the power of nuclear warheads and long-range ballistic missiles can destroy this earth. God will not allow this to happen. The Bible tells us he will not allow this to happen. He intends to clean this earth with fire when he is good and ready. Man does not have that power. So ask yourself, in your time of calm and control, when you can learn, when you can prepare, when you can practice, when you can get ready, so that when the times of discouragement, when the times of disappointment rear their ugly heads and strife presents itself in your life, while you have the ability to pray for that, prepare for this, here's the thing. Are you preparing so that you will stand in the strength of the Lord? Are you walking every day with God? Well, no. Let me ask you something. Are you walking every hour with God? Because I'm going to tell you something. This thing about a quick prayer in the morning, a quick prayer before bedtime, that's good. That's good. I think Jesus wants a little more than that. Don't you think? I mean, come on. You're so busy all day long with the job and giving the boss what he demands of you and meeting the needs of the customer, or you're so busy with the new girlfriend that you don't have time for God through the day. But you did your due diligence. You caught it in the morning for a two-minute prayer, and you'll catch it tonight for a quick two-minute prayer. Really, ask yourself if you are walking rightly with God. If every hour of the day you can't pause and say, Jesus, thank you. I just saw what you did for me. If every hour of the day you can't pause and say, Lord, I appreciate what you've always done for me. If every hour of the day you don't stop and say, Lord, I don't know where my kids are right now, but I'm at peace because I know you're watching them. Every hour of the day, that's when you walk with God. That's when you prepare. That's how you build up your resilience for the time of trouble that is to come. Let me ask you something. You think a time of trouble is coming? If you have read your Bible, it doesn't matter what religion you are, Seventh-day Adventist, Baptist, whatever you are. If you have read your Bible, you know a time of trouble is ahead. Because here's the way I look at it. The Bible is stocked with prophecy. Not just in the book of Revelation. The Bible is stocked with prophecy. And when you see something prophesied thousands of years ago and after that time it happens, and then something else is prophesied and after that time it happens, and over and over and over for 4,000 years, for 5,000 years, for 6,000 years, why would you doubt? Why would you doubt that the next step might not happen? If that's your mindset, then you have to call yourself a fool. And we're not fools. We're studied men and women of God. We study Scripture. We know what God has laid out for us. We know the plan of salvation. We have a blueprint in God's Word. And if you read it, you know what's coming down the pipe. So are you preparing? Look for a second at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Put on what? Put on that whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Without the armor of God, you cannot stand against Satan. He is stronger than you are. He is faster than you are. He is bulletproof compared to you. He knows more than you do. He's had a long time to study our habits, more than we have to study our own habits. You on your own cannot stand against him. Put on the whole armor of God. Verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with" what? Truth. "Having on the breastplate of" what? "Righteousness." And your feet shod with" what? "Preparation of the gospel of peace." Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all, not some, all of the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which in the word of God, which is the word of God, praying always, with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, you sharpening your spiritual weapons? You just heard how to do that. You just heard that it's necessary. I didn't make that up. I didn't grab that off the internet. I read that right out of the Word of God. We are instructed to put on the helmet of salvation. We are instructed to wear the whole armor of God. Don't pick and choose the pieces you want. Don't think, "I'm strong, just give me the helmet and the sword, I don't need the shield." Let me tell you something. The devil knows your every weakness better than you do. But God knows your every weakness as well and stands in front of you. Put on the armor of God. And the way you do that is every day you put it on and you train. For 10 years, Asa had 580,000 men train for the possibility of trouble, even though there was no trouble. So let's go to verse 9 of 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles 14 and verse 9. And here we go. "And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000. How many is that? Give me a number I can understand. How many is that? That's 1,000,000. That's a million soldiers. And before I got to that, I was thinking, man, that Asa is a bad boy. Half a million soldiers trained up, and here this guy rolls up with a million, twice as many. Wow. And 300 chariots. I mean, they say as he looked up, human eyes looked at it like this. They would sweep that valley and everything in its way. Nothing could withstand that force. That's the way human eyes looked at it. You hear what I'm telling you? Prepare as much as you want, and then you realize you got 500,000 men, and this other guy was also preparing, and he prepared better than you. And then what you got? Let me tell you what Asa got. Before I tell you what Asa got, I'm going to tell you something. Who remembers 2017? We had Hurricane Harvey. We had some flooding. I got some sisters that are not here today that sit right there. And I don't know which one it was, Tree Tree or Kiki. One of them, it was Tree, flooded in the house. She had to go up in the attic. I can't imagine how scary that must be. You look around, there's nothing but flood waters rising, and you can't get anywhere. You can't go anywhere. Who are you going to call? Not Ghostbusters. You start calling Jesus then, don't you? Huh? And you think of Sister Joanne out there in Coombs by herself, and the floods came, and the fire department went to get her. And she slipped trying to get a hold of that thing, fell and broke her shoulder and all kinds. She's still suffering today with that. Who do you think she called? I sat with her. She'll tell you, I called on Jesus. In 2017, so many of us during that time faced all kinds of hardship, you know? And there was two ways to handle that. There was two ways to answer that challenge. You cave, you cower, you throw in the towel, or you say, I've been in training during my years of peace and rest and calm with the Lord, and I'm ready for this. This is just stuff. God preserved my life. Amen. That's all that matters. God kept my children safe. Amen. That's all that matters. I can get another house. I can get another car. I can get whatever. I don't care about that. God took care of me. You can face it that way and stand with God and say, amen and amen. God is in charge. God is in charge. So this was Asa's time of surrender, folks. Half a million strong, fortified walls, gates of iron, ready for them. Leading all of these men, he stands before them. What does Asa say? Let's take a look at that. Verse 11. Asa cried unto the Lord. Asa didn't cry unto himself. Asa didn't cry on how great his army was or how strong his city was. Asa cried unto the Lord. You know why? Because for the last 10 years, he cried unto the Lord. He walked with the Lord. He was in tune with the Lord. He was in step with the Lord. So now when trouble faces him, it's no shock to his system. You go to the Lord. Is every day of your life like that, so that when the shock hits you, you go to the Lord? We're talking about faithfulness here. We're talking about his surrender. Right here, verse 11, and Asa cried to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. Not in my name, the great King Asa. In thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. You hear that? When you're in trouble, you and God are in trouble. When you fall in the ditch, you and God are in the ditch. Okay? When you get fired, you and God just got fired. You hear what I'm saying? We worry about our troubles and don't realize that every step of the way, God is in there with us. Asa said, don't let them prevail against you, God, because he knew right beside him was God. In the trenches was God. Can you say amen? Man, Asa's time of surrender to the Lord. Now, don't think he just sat there and cried. I'm going to tell you, he arrayed his armies for battle. He saw this Ethiopian force, knew they were coming, and knew without God it was utter destruction. But he had to lead. It was his job. He was the king. He prepped these people for this. If God did not stand with him and spare him and save him, he would still go into battle and he would perish. He didn't get scared right there, but he called on the Lord in faith. In faithfulness, he said, God, stand with us. God, fight for us. God, don't let them prevail against you. That's what we are to cry every day in our troubles. How do you intend to react to your troubles, to your trials, to your tribulations today? 2019 for many was a hard year. Wasn't it, Ray? There were some tough times in 2019. I know, if you don't mind me saying so, I remember you struggling sometimes. We were praying for Ray to get a job. God took care of Ray, but nonetheless, there were times of trouble for him. Many of us faced that. Many of us in different ways, not just in a job, faced troubles. And it was always on prayer warriors, pray for me, pray for my family, pray for this, pray for that. And we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. And God does not forsake his people. When Asa took rule, I got to watch my time here. I'm going to throw it up page, don't worry. When Asa took rule, Asa started a clean house. His dad should have done it, but he didn't. Asa started a clean house. He took down all the altars. He took down all the idols. He cut down the groves. He put the people in check. He brought back the priesthood like it should be. Worship to God was of paramount importance. He commanded the people to worship God and keep his commandments. Can you say amen? Amen. He prepared the people for God. We have a charge to prepare people for God. You hear what I'm saying? Asa could have kept it to himself, kept the palace right, and done that. But no, he commanded his people to honor and obey God and keep God's commandments. Me and you, we have a job to do. We have a responsibility to get people right and ready for God. Can you say amen? I don't know how well we did that in 2019. I can't say. But look, here it is 2020. The sun is shining, and God is on our side. Today you have the opportunity to reach people and say, get right with God. You hear what I'm saying? Asa did that. He cleaned house through the entire kingdom. He set it right with God. Today, idolatry still pervades our lives. Isn't that sad? Back then, they were bowing down and worshiping an image of a calf or a dragon or a fish or whatever it was, and praying to these things. And you say to yourself, well, we don't do that today. We don't worship idols, do we? Oh, we don't do that. Let me tell you something. Anything that takes precedence over God becomes an idol. Anything that takes more time than God gets is an idol. Anything that supersedes the very presence of God in your life is your idol. If making your house bigger and nicer and prettier and fancier is of paramount importance to you and not opening it up to God's people, that is your idol. For young people, I'm going to call you out, young people. You guys can't live without a cell phone, can you? You don't know how to, do you? You do not know how to function without a cell phone once you reach about the age of 13 or 14, do you? Let me tell you something. If it's that important to you, but you can't say to yourself, I cannot survive if I don't sing praises to God today. Guess what your idol is? Young people, it's the truth. And sadly to say, not just yours. Grown folks, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, hanging onto that phone for dear life, for entertainment and everything else you want. So let me ask this question. Hypothetically speaking, we're coming down to the end here. I'm going to let you go soon. You hear on the news, Sabbath keepers will be imprisoned. No due process. There you go. Arrested on site. You're like, what? And then you get a call from a trusted friend, confirms it. So you believe it. It's happening. It's on. What are you going to do? Come on now. You read the scripture. Jesus said, pray that your flight is not in the winter or on the Sabbath. There's going to be a flight. What you going to do? Here's the thing. If you live in a $1 million house, and it's got everything, all the creature comforts, and you think, oh, I got to run up to the woods and the hills, you think it's going to be super easy for you to just get out there and run? Isn't that sad? But that is true. Here's the thing. If you believe a time of persecution will be upon you, if you believe that when you are sealed by God and you don't have the mark of the beast, you will not be able to do business and you will be persecuted in the end times. If you believe that, and we don't know when that is, that could be next month, that could be 100 years from now. We don't know. But let's just hypothetically say it's upon us. You know when you run up to them hills, you can't take a hot shower anymore. You don't have toothpaste in the morning to brush your teeth. You can't flush a toilet anymore. You're out there in the woods. Dwight is smiling. He said, hey, man, I'm from the third world country. I'm from Central America. Where are you from? Guatemala? Belize, sorry. Sorry, that's Guatemala. That's Belize. My bad. He said, man, I can handle that. Maybe he can. How are we going to handle that? We have all these comforts we're accustomed to. No more cell phones. You can't text and say, hey, you see the soldiers where they at? No more cell phones for you. You're just out there in the raw woods with nothing. You don't even have a can of beans you can cut open. You got to live off the land. Are you prepared for that? I'm not trying to push a conspiracy theory on you or say go buy a trailer and bury it in the ground. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, is it going to be a shock to your system if it happens? Or have you been walking the walk and, you know, if that comes up, I'm right with God. Because God said, if I lay down my life, I will pick it up again. God says, if I'm faithful to him, they might kill this body, but they will never kill the spirit. You hear what I'm saying? Are we brave enough? That's the truth. Are we brave enough to face that head on? Do you live in obedience and surrender to God every day and every hour? Because I'm going to tell you, if you don't, when that time is upon you, it's not going to be as easy as when we say it. I promise you, it's not going to be as easy. It's so easy to say, yeah, I'm going to run. I know how to bow hunt. I know how to catch a deer. I know. Let me tell you something. If you're not living that life all your life, that's going to be a shock to your system. Okay? So right now, are you living in obedience and in surrender to Jesus Christ, your Lord? 2 Chronicles 15, and we're coming down to the end here. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1 and 2. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. God is with you while you are with God. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. That's harsh, but it's in the Bible. Okay? Stand with God. God is with you. You forsake God, you run the risk of God forsaking you. You okay with that? Because I'm not. I'm too much of a softy for that. I need God backing me up. The time to surrender to God is today, January 4th, 2020. The time to let go of the things of this world that captivate us is today, right now, okay? We can say, let's let it go. We don't need it. But I'll tell you what, our carnal nature dictates that we hang on to it. Every day is a wrestling match. Every day is a fight. That's why I say let go of 2019 and all the failures and all the falls and everything. Start right now with God. Start right. And you know what? That doesn't mean you're not going to fall. That doesn't mean you're not going to fail. That doesn't mean you're not going to mess up. But it means right here, right now, he gives you a clean slate and he's willing to walk with you every step of the way. It's on you if you accept that or not. Don't blame God when you turn your back on God, when you forsake God, and then you get in trouble and cry out, "Where are you, Lord?" First Peter chapter 1 tells us of our heavenly inheritance, tells us that through trials we are tried like gold in fire. Through trials, you're going to face trials. Just because you're a Christian, just because you stand with God, doesn't mean that hedge is always going to be around you and nothing can touch you. You're going to face trials because trials will drain out the impurities and make you strong and pure and ready. We are to live our lives as King Asa did. King Asa cleaned house. King Asa stood with and for the Lord. King Asa didn't rely on his own strength and his own stuff. He relied on the mighty arm of God. Asa made mistakes along the way. Honestly, I don't know if he closed out his time right with God. I would like to think he is. I didn't get that detail in the chapter. I know later on in years, he sought an alliance with the king of Syria instead of remembering how God took care of him, and something was pronounced upon him by the prophet, and he faced wars going forward from them. It says in his 39th year, he had a sickness in his feet, and instead of turning to God, he turned to his physicians. And then in his 41st year, he died and ended his reign. I don't know how he closed that out. That's between him and God. I didn't get that detail in there. But I would like to think after the first 10 years, after the way he walked with God, in the end, he remembered God. Because there's a promise that says, you train up a child in the way he should go. That's right. Amen. And I would like to think in his time of trouble, when he knew the physicians wasn't healing his feet, when he knew he was close on his deathbed, that he finally reached out to God again and said, "Lord, you took care of me all through my life. I'm sorry. Help me out." I don't know. Let me share a story with you in closing. I read this on Enduring Faithfulness and on Trusting the Outcome. It was shared by this guy named Coach Mullen on his blog, right? And the article is titled Push. You heard this one? Nobody? Oh, wow. Okay. So it's a story about a man sleeping in his cabin, and suddenly the room is filled with light, and God comes in and starts talking to him. And God says, there's a big rock outside, kind of like that one, and I want you to go outside and push. That's what I want you to do. Go out there and push. And this man says, "Yes, Lord, I will do what you command." He wakes up in the morning, he goes outside, squares his shoulder on that boulder, and he starts pushing with all his might. With everything, all day, he's pushing on that boulder. End of the day, he's worn out, he comes inside. The next day, guess what? Gets up and goes again. This goes on for years, and he's worn out. And every day he comes in and he says, "I didn't move that boulder an inch. I didn't move it at all." And he feels like he failed. And right then, see, when that moment of doubt is there, right then, the enemy comes in and Satan says, "All this time you're putting into this, and you hadn't moved that boulder yet. You're just wasting your time and God is doing nothing about it to help you. I'll tell you what, why don't you just go out there and do just the bare minimum and get by? Because you're not going to move it anyway." And the man says, "Well, that makes sense because I'm just tired." But he says, "But let me go to God first in prayer." Again, that training as a child. Let me go to God first in prayer. And he says, "Lord, you asked me to push on this boulder. And I've been pushing, and I've been pushing. And all these years, I can't move it even a millimeter, God. Why am I failing?" God says to him, "You really think you failed? Let me tell you something. You've been pushing that boulder for years, and look at how strong your shoulders and your arms are. Look at how big and muscular your back and your legs are. Look at how much longer you can stand up to that boulder and not fall to your knees. Look at what's happened to you. Look how much you've changed. Do you not see how much stronger you are today than you were just a few years ago? And let me ask you something. Who told you to move the boulder? I asked you to push. I never told you move that boulder. You just push. Now step aside and I will move this boulder. Know this. Still have faith. Faith can move mountains, but you better know it's God that moves that mountain, answering your faith. You better know that. So push. When you're in trouble, you push. P-U-S-H. When the job plays out and you get fired and you don't know how this month is going to play out, you push. P-U-S-H. Push. Okay? When the marriage doesn't work out and one leaves or the other leaves and you're crushed because this was your whole life and you think, what do I do now? You push. P-U-S-H. When things just don't go right, you push. P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. That's a promise God made to us. You push, I will move. You get up there and you put your shoulders on and you push, I will move it. Amen? Come back next week. We're going to do part two. Seal, return, time. Some of you may not like me after that one, but we're going to do it. Let's have a word of prayer as our choristers get ready for our closing hymn. Father, I pray that you can help me to remain faithful to you. I pray that you can help my unbelief. I pray that you can cleanse my heart and get me ready. Every day, Lord, I think I can try and get myself ready to meet you. I can't do it. Every day, Father, it's a struggle. But I'm not scared of it. I'm ready for it every day. Because, Lord, every day I believe you're there with me. Going into this year, Father, I pray that the Spirit will be with me, with each and every one of us, and that we will see how important it is to put our time into you, into serving you, into preparing ourselves, our families, our friends, our neighbors, and our co-workers for Jesus to come back and for us to have a home eternal. Thank you for the blessed hope that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, the holy, the mighty, the all-powerful Jesus, I pray.